Hi, I'm Reverend Norm Seelye. Welcome to a Jubilee Sunday Worship Podcast. What you are about to hear is this week's Sunday service edited to fit an all audio experience. You can support Jubilee United Church through the Canada Helps website, www.canadahelps.ca. Just search Jubilee United Church. And there's also a link on the Jubilee website. You can also access a full video of this service on our website, www.jubileeunited.ca. And now, without further ado, welcome to worship.
Good morning, and welcome to you all. Welcome to all the people from Jubilee, the musicians, everyone that might be visiting us from outside of those two churches. Welcome to you all.
Our first reading is Deuteronomy 34, verses 1 to 12. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho. And the Lord showed him the whole land, Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negeb and the plain, that is the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees so far as Zoar. The Lord said to him, "This is the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there." Then Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab at the Lord's command. He was buried in a valley in the land of Moab opposite Beth Peor, but no one knows his burial place to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His sight was unimpaired, and his vigor had not abated. The Israelites wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the period of mourning for Moses was ended. Joshua, son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. And the Israelites obeyed him, doing as the Lord had commanded Moses. Never since has there arisen a prophet in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. He was unequaled for all the signs and wonders that the Lord sent him to perform in the land of Egypt, against Pharaoh and all his servants and his entire land. And for all the mighty deeds and all the terrifying displays of power that Moses performed in the sight of all Israel. Just a small comment here. I did tour Israel and Jordan, and we did indeed go up to Mount Nebo, and I stood on the very spot that Moses stood, so the tour guide said. But I looked across from Jordan, across the valley into Israel, and I must say it was a very stirring sight. Second reading, Matthew 22, verses 34 to 46. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment." And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the laws and prophets. Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them this question. What do you think of the Messiah? Whose son is he? They said to him, the son of David. And he said to them, how is it then that David, by the Spirit, calls him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. If David thus calls him Lord, how can he be his son? No one was able to give him an answer, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. End of the reading.
Loving God, may the words from my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your eyes. And God, may I never lightly presume to preach your word. And may we never lightly presume to hear your word. For in your word is abundant life. Amen. So I keep reminding myself again and again and again that there is no pressure this morning. I am at home. I first came to Forest Grove about 47 years ago. My best friend, Jeff Engel, told me there were pretty girls here and I could play the trumpet in a little band called the Free Spirit. And he was right. I came for the music and the pretty girls, and it was fun. And then I stayed because of Edge Young. Somehow Edge, who was an old minister out of retirement to serve this community, spoke to my teenage self and helped translate a call into ministry that surprised us both. I have told the story many times before how he fell out of the chair in that office laughing at me when I told him I wanted to be a minister. It's brought me full circle. So here I am, in the place where I began to truly discern and describe my call into ministry. But no pressure, not feeling it at all. And it's not like anybody today is going to be judging me or my preaching. That's not going to happen at all. It's not like I represent the community of Jubilee United Church as we discern a future, maybe together, Forest Grove and Jubilee. No. If I do a terrible job, it won't matter at all. No pressure. I am not good at first dates. Now, the obvious thing for me to do today is to preach about the greatest commandment, because it is probably the most preached text in all of our Gospels. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On those two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I mean, come on, it's obvious. How can I go wrong? Everybody loves this text. This is the one to preach. But of course, if you know me, you know I don't usually do the obvious thing, or even the smartest thing sometimes. And it's not that I don't love that text. I do. I love that text. And it's not that I can't speak about it for 25 minutes. Trust me, I can speak about it for, fear me, I can speak about that for more than 25 minutes. But the thing is, you know it so well. You have heard it preached, and you probably have a greater, deeper understanding of those words than any preacher could possibly inspire. So the thing is, you don't need me. And honestly, I don't want to waste your precious time. So instead, what about the death of Moses? You thought about that much lately? You ever sat around thinking about the death of Moses? I mean, Moses is this fellow who gets the very last steps of his journey. I mean, he can literally see the promised land, right? The promised land to which he's been leading the Israelites for 40 years. And he dies before he gets there. Man, that's not fair. I mean, sure, he dies in good health, 120 years, his sight unimpaired and his vigor not abated. But that almost makes it worse. I mean, come on. Why would God simply not give him a few extra years or even a few days? But no, it is God's will.
He's gone. And the people both mourn and celebrate him, but he does not get to step into the promised land. Joshua will take them in. A lot of things seem unfair. To come so far and not make it. To have to give up on a dream. And I have heard such laments at the funeral of a partner or at a retirement in the wake of a layoff, hearing a heart-stopping diagnosis at the end of a marriage. But I thought for sure that I'd make it. I was sure that we would have more time. It's not fair. It isn't fair. Our dreams and our lives should not be cut short. Our ambitions should not be arbitrarily thwarted. And you may say that Moses not coming to the promised land was not arbitrary. If you've done your research, you will know that it was because of his disobedience to God. Because apparently he struck the rock twice when it should have been once. Or he broke the Ten Commandments when he saw the people worshiping a golden idol in his absence. It's hard to say exactly what his disobedience was. But I'll tell you, it was so minor compared to what Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob got away with before Moses. Never mind what David and others will do after Moses. It seems so arbitrary. You do everything right with the best intentions, but one small misstep, and you don't get to go to the promised land. That's not fair. Now, did anyone notice that when they grieved and celebrated Moses, that they really focused only on his life post-retirement? Because you remember, he was once a prince of Egypt. There's a whole musical about that, right? That's not mentioned. He fled Egypt. He got married. He was tending the flock of his father-in-law till he was almost 80 years old. None of that is mentioned. Everything about which they celebrate was in the latter third of his life, when he was old. The Exodus, when you think about it, was like one of those projects you get involved with or those committees you join once you retire from your job, you know? And I don't know about your experience of committees and programs run by well-meaning volunteers, but I have more than once wanted to quit those projects, walk away from those committees, you know, where we just talk about the same thing over and over and over again, and there's one person who will not stop complaining about this thing or that thing, or the disagreements that feel like personal attacks, like, really? And as you listen to someone impugn your character, you think about all the times you've held your tongue and never once said, you know, I told you so. You know, when bread came from the sky or water came from the rock, never once said, you know, now can we agree that I was right all along and you were wrong? When it goes exactly as you said it would go, you just keep it to yourself. But no, they can assault you verbally and you just sit there and take it. Yeah. Moses had a rough time on the Exodus, with people complaining about the desert being dry. Duh, it's a desert. The journey being difficult. Yes, they were told it was going to be difficult. They were also told it was a whole lot better than the oppression they were suffering in Egypt. And they agreed they wanted to go until they got out there. I mean, nobody was turning back when they were crossing the Red Sea. Nope, they were pretty much on hand for that. But once free from Egypt, they set about undermining Moses' authority every chance they got. And I get why he was frustrated with the people. Had it been me, honestly, I would have arisen early in the morning and headed off to the promised land myself, without them. Just me and God. Maybe my brother Aaron and sister Miriam, if they were up and dressed on time and didn't make me wait. Just our little family and God off to the promised land. That would work. But Moses didn't do that. And you didn't give up on your project or quit your board. And you didn't abandon the six committees that you're on because, like Moses, you believe in the vision. I'm on the board of a Toronto theater company. And it has been so hard through and post-COVID. And I got so many other things going on. I should just quit the board because it just... But I believe in the importance of live theater. I really do believe in the arts. I'm on the board of the Toronto Urban Native Ministry, and it has been uphill for the last 5 years, and sometimes I just want to cry and resign. But I believe in the spiritual well-being of and advocacy with Indigenous people living in Toronto. I believe in it. I chair the Board of Vocation for the United Church of Canada. That means I chair the group that's responsible for every paid accountable minister in our church. And I'll tell you, it's not a lot of fun, because times are tough. Ministers feel under siege, and they do love to complain. But I believe in the vision of our church. I believe in our ministry. And in this room, right now, there are people with more responsibilities and affiliations than I could ever imagine. It might not be a board or a committee. It might be a relationship. It could be a family connection. And you continue to support and nurture and love and hope and pray because you believe in the vision. You believe in the cause. You believe in the person. Right? You don't keep going when things are tough because it feels good to keep going. It doesn't. You keep going because you believe in the future. You believe that the vision has something important to contribute, that the cause can actually help shape the future, that the person has potential. And through them, through all of these things, you are committed to a world that is loving and just and hopeful, whether that comes to be in your time or not. My Indigenous siblings talk so often about planning 7 generations in the future. And I'd hear that and I'd go, oh, yeah, that's very wise, I get it. But now that I have a granddaughter, have I mentioned I have a granddaughter? But no, now that I have a granddaughter, I don't nod. I shake because, yeah, absolutely, it matters a lot to me. I've heard a baby here this morning. Yes. Oh, and I recognize my baby friend. There you are. And when you had the kids, it changed everything, doesn't it? You worry more about the future, whether you're there in the long future or not. See, I want to be sure that my granddaughter lives in a world that is loving, just, and hopeful, and I'm going to do whatever I can to make that happen. So I'm going to keep pushing uphill. I'm going to keep trying, even when it's difficult. You see, Moses believed in the vision of getting people to a time and place where they could live without oppression, right? Where they could live with hope and potential. That's what kept him going, that vision, that commitment. I try very hard not to comment in any partisan way, so I hope that I won't be misunderstood when I say that it is possible to say that Moses' vision has yet to be fulfilled. The land that he viewed is not free of oppression or filled with justice. But there are still many committed to making real that vision of a promised land where there is justice and freedom from oppression. And that's why I continue to hope and pray. That's why I continue to do what I can. But back to our lives. I will suggest to you, I know what the text says, but I'm going to suggest to you that Moses was not treated harshly by God. No matter how one person or another might read the text, I really don't think that Moses was being punished at all. He died full of health. He did not diminish or fade away. What a gift. And he saw the promised land of his vision. And you see, the thing is, his dream was never to go there himself. No, his dream was to bring the people to the promised land. And that night on Mount Nebo at the top of Pisgah, Moses saw his vision, God's vision, become real. There it was. And that was what he was living for. Mission accomplished. He got it. In the latter part of his life, he was exactly the right person for this ministry, because he was old enough not to worry about what was in it for him, but to take joy in what he could do for others, for children and great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren and beyond. He had the wisdom and the maturity to invest in a hopeful future for the whole people of God. And that's no small thing. I mean, we all have those moments when we look at the people and the things that matter most to us and wonder, have we done enough? Did we get there? In our efforts, have we loved God and loved our neighbors? And I can't speak for you, but I find great peace in being reminded that my call is not about arriving in the promised land myself, playing the trumpet and meeting pretty girls. It's not about me. It is actually about loving my neighbors, helping the whole people of God, helping my descendants and the world find its way to love and grace, to justice and compassion. And my reward is in knowing that with God, that ministry, that hope, is not in vain. It's right there on the horizon. And as I look around at you and others who dare to love in the world, as I hear the sound of a baby, like Moses, I see the vision become real a little bit at a time. And in truth, at my age, that's reward enough for me. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. And God, we open our hearts to you in prayer. We ask that you search us and know us, that you recognize our failings, the moments that we have fallen short of our potential. We have kept your grace hidden. We have kept our efforts to ourselves. We have taken the easy shortcut and cut ourselves off from the rest of your family. We've been drawn in by slogans instead of truly understanding the depth, the nuance, the struggle, the hurt, and the pain that is behind the words. God, forgive us our impatience. And may your grace bring us patience and courage that we might dare to love, that we might dare to hope, that we might change the world. God, as you look into our hearts, you know that we are a people who cheer for our favorite sports team and get frustrated by our neighbors, who love our family and yet at times wish maybe we could change them. God, recognize our prayers that may seem petty in the light, but they matter. They are part of who we are. Assure us, God, that you know us, that we can be honest with you. And God, as we share our pettier prayers, we dig deeper, and soon, God, you discover the people that we carry in our hearts, the ones that we grieve and miss, the ones for whom we worry, the ones we love, even though sometimes we don't know how. God, fill our hearts. Reach where we cannot reach. inspire where we begin to doubt, and bring comfort, strength, and hope. God, we pray also for ourselves. We are living in difficult times. We're not sure if we dare to hope. The world is a confusing, messy place. Our health may not be what we had hoped it would be. We don't want to be selfish, God, but sometimes it just hurts, and it seems unfair. Be with us, God. Speak to us in ways that we might hear, that we might know that we are not alone. And God, as you look into our hearts, you know that we are grateful. Yesterday was as close to a perfect day as we could imagine. We thank you for clear air to breathe and beautiful leaves not yet gone. We thank you for friendships, old friends, new friends, people who make us smile and give us confidence. We thank you that we are part of such a wondrous creation. Let us never take for granted how glorious this world can be and our place in it. And God, in this next moment, let us not worry about our prayers, but let us hear your prayers to us. Yes, God, we hear you in the cries of a baby, in the words of wisdom that come from an elder. We hear you in creation all around us. And so we pray in the words that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, every song that we have sung has been a journey, a strange journey, and yet God has been in each of those songs. Every thought that we brought in with us today, everything we carry out with us today, they're all different, and yet they are all touched by God. They are all touched by grace. So don't be afraid of the journey. Go from this moment out into the world and look around and know the vision is real. See and recognize that there is compassion in the world. There is love and hope. You are compassion. You are love and hope. And together we make the difference. Dare to love the world and know that God the Creator is with you. Know that Jesus walks with us. And know that the Holy Spirit absolutely surrounds and fills each and every one of us. Until we gather again somehow, some way. Amen.
What I feel, I can't say, but my love is there for you any time of day.
It's not love.